This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, 1 hour left here, 9 to noon every single Saturday. Warriors This Week, Evan Giddings, Dan DeVoe. This from the Comcast Business text line. From the 510, and this is the conversation I think we're trying to get into as the Warriors prepare to take on the Houston Rockets at 5 o'clock tonight. Warriors live an hour before 4 o'clock, Tim Roy on the call, and then post-game right here on 95.7 The Game. Do you guys think that Brennan Pajemski will ever be an all-star? If I had to bet, no, I wouldn't. But that doesn't mean that he can't help the Warriors win. In fact, if I'm looking at the Warriors right now in their roster, they have one all-star. It's Steph Curry. Even if the Warriors get off to such as an 18-2 start like they did the year they won the championship, let's say at the all-star break, if it's, 50 games into the season, the Warriors could be 35-15. I think they still only have one all-star. And that's what I think we're learning about this group is the team greater than the sum of its parts? Like, is it greater than the individuals? Because I don't think they're more talented than, say, the Houston Rockets, who they play tonight at 5. The Houston Rockets have a ton of young talent, but I think the Warriors are going to win this game tonight because they're a better team, even though they don't occur.
Well, we're going to find out a lot more about this quote-unquote team starting tonight. And I think Houston's a really good and interesting matchup because I think Houston, if things go according to plan and we're buying in that the Warriors are going to be a good team this year, I think Houston's going to be one of those teams along with Sacramento, maybe Memphis, that the Warriors, the Lakers, the Warriors are going to be yo-yoing and jostling for position, maybe teams 5 through 11, depending on the night and the matchup that they're going to be going back and forth. And I think one of those teams could be, not only could be, but maybe their arch rival in sort of, positioning, whether it's for the 5 or the 6 or the 7 seed, is going to be the Houston Rockets. And Houston's a very, very good team. And much like that of a lot of teams in the West, they're young, and they're getting more mature, which is a scary combination. You know what's interesting is that when I look at the landscape of the West, and we talk about how talented they are, but there's going to be some teams that I think, and namely, keep an eye on Denver. Denver could be one of those teams that falls back to the pack. And I think you could see someone like Houston potentially replacing a Denver and ascending into that top 3 or 4 or 5. If they have a breakout year. But I think Houston and the Warriors are going to be two teams that are going to be jockeying for positioning when it comes to the NBA playoffs throughout the entire season.
Yeah, and the Houston Rockets, like I asked you the question earlier, who do you think win more games, the Lakers or the Warriors? And I think they're easier to compare because, they have aging stars.
About the Lakers.
Yeah, they've been in similar positions. But as far as like the Vegas win totals, the Warriors and the Rockets, I think, were pretty close. I think the Rockets over-under was 43.5 or 43, and the Warriors was 44 or 44.5. So they're very close. I do think tonight's not going to tell us who's going to win more games over 82. But I think it'll give us a glimpse into which style works. Yeah, I mean, well, Curry's out. But like, I still feel confident that the Warriors can win this game tonight, even though the Rockets on paper are probably much better. I mean, they're whole.
I wish I could tell you that I agree with you or I disagree with you, but quite frankly, I have no idea what the hell to expect. And that's sort of the beauty of this team, is that they're fun again and they're enjoyable. I really don't know what's going to happen or what's going to unfold or who's going to be an unlikely star. And that's sort of been their MO up to this point. I mean, it could be another breakout game for, I don't know, Buddy Hield.
Well, they're going to need Buddy to score tonight. Without Curry, you need someone to fill it up.
Yeah, Buddy Hield's got to score. Lindy Evans is he going to break out again?
Waters.
Or Lindy Waters, excuse me. It's Lindy Evans.
I don't know. I know Tyreek Evans, Reggie Evans, Evan Mobley. But the thing about the Warriors is that, like last season, and this is why I do, like I know we had Austin calling earlier and, you know, still hesitant, you know, wants to see more. I get that. But let's say the Warriors win tonight. They're 5-1. Last year, they were also 5-1. It's a different 5-1. And I know that sounds maybe homerish, but last year, Steph Curry had to be the guy for every single game. He was the leading scorer the first 11 games of last season, win or loss. This year, Buddy Hield has been the leading scorer for 4 of 5. Could that change tonight? Yes. Andrew Wiggins is probably back because he's been the other leading scorer. That was in the Warriors' lone loss. But Wiggins can lead on a given night. I think Kuminga has the ability to lead on a given night if he's given the runway. Buddy Hield has already shown that he can score 20-plus points per game if they need him to. The Warriors have a lot of different ways to make up what has been an offensive void whenever Curry misses games. And I think also to your point earlier about their defense, they're not just a team that's going to let you score 110, 120 easy. Last year, if they were playing the Rockets right now, I would feel pretty good that the Rockets would win that game without Steph, because the Rockets will get up and down, they will run, and they would just pulverize the Warriors. But this year, there's something about their versatility that lends me to believe that even if they're having an off shooting night, that they'll do enough defensively to stay in the game. And they even proved against the Pelicans on the night that the Pelicans actually were healthy when they had McCollum as well as Herb Jones, that a 20-point lead is not insurmountable.
The Warriors are so unlike any other Warrior team over the last, I don't know, maybe since Steve Kerr has been here. This is so different.
Were you thinking of Linda Evans? That's from the text line.
No, who's that? Oh, Linda, wasn't she a star from Dynasty, Linda Evans?
Yeah. Sorry.
This is just such an unusual basketball team for the Warriors because it's not star-centric right now. It will be because I think Steph will be Steph at the end of the day. But right now, it's just, it's so fun, man. And I really do think, and I'm not jumping on Clay, but I think his removal has a lot to do with what it is that we're seeing right now. Because what jumps out at me when I watch the Warriors, it's not, yeah, Buddy Hield's making threes, and Lindy Waters has been a remarkable story, Podziemski's on the floor again, but it's just the energy. It's palpable, man. It just is like, whoa, what's going on here? They suffocate defensively, and now they're young, and they can get up and down the floor. And then they just keep coming at you and at you with the wave of guys. So you never have to worry about load management. You never have to worry about minutes. It's just a different guy that's going to suffocate you. And if he's not doing his job, if he's not up to snuff for a certain game, then somebody else, it's interchangeable. And again, I just think up to this point, while we talk about sustainability, is this team going to be able to do this? Are they going to be relevant and get back to me in a month or 2 months or 3 months? As of right now, they're fun as hell. And I'm all in, man. I cannot wait to see what's going to unfold tonight, because fun has finally returned back to the Golden State Warriors. And I think a lot of it has to do with Grumpy Clay getting out of town. And not only his attitude, but I just think physically, you couldn't play like this. Clay is just so Clay-centric. Like, if I hit my first three, feed me, because, you know, I scored 37 and a quarter once. And one of the reasons why I'm out on Dallas this year is that, yeah, maybe you can hide Kyrie and Luka defensively for a while, as they did last year, and they got much better defensively. But the three of them, Klay, Kyrie, and Luka, I saw Luka in a possession. I saw two things, actually, as I was strolling through watching NBA games that jumped out at me. Before I lose my train of thought, I'm going to give them both to you. One of which is, like, Luka just gets beat, literally, with his finger up his nose on the defensive possession. Somebody just went backdoor on him, and he's just like, huh, what? And then Klay just simply can't physically, he can't move laterally like he once did. And then Kyrie's Kyrie. He wants the ball in his hands, and you know he's not a very good defender and never has been. And that's going to catch up when your best three players can't give you anything on the defensive end. The other thing in watching and just perusing around the NBA channels, I watched San Antonio for about half a quarter. And I think there's got to be an edict
the out OKC of San Antonio. Game?
The OKC game.
Yeah.
And I would say that if I'm Popovich, I'm sitting down my young team, and I'm telling them, look it, my man, Wembanyama, has to have at least one touch on every possession. I tuned into this game. I saw five consecutive possessions where whether it was Zach Collins or Keldon Johnson that are jacking up like a 30-footer with two guys on him. I'm like, I don't want to see this. Give him the ball. At least let him touch the ball. If you've got Victor Wembanyama and you're the San Antonio Spurs, the way they're currently constructed, he should touch the ball at least once on every possession.
That I agree with. But it's funny watching the Spurs now. All right. Last night, went out with a couple buddies, had a pop, went back to the apartment, and, you know, among some other medicinal activities, we were watching, we queued up a few YouTube videos, and I noticed that one of the videos or string of videos that they were watching was...
Is that what your generation does now?
What?
You come home and you watch YouTube?
Well, I had to wake up early for the show, Dan. I wasn't trying to go out until 2 a.m.
I'm just saying.
I've been known to do. But the videos that they were watching were of the 2014 Spurs. Like, they had like several videos in a row. The beautiful game, the San Antonio Spurs. And you watch these videos, and, you know, you're a little in
that finals against Miami was just that was beautiful. They just dissected that team.
And as I'm sitting there enlightened, I'm being enlightened to how they were so damn good. Everyone touched the ball on every possession. Boris Diaw was in, like, every Boris single Diaw. One of these highlights. Thiago Splitter, not a great individual player.
Terrible.
But he knew how to pass the ball. These Golden State Warriors play more like those Spurs teams than this Spurs team plays like that Spurs team. These Golden State Warriors this year already.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
That's the thing that I do believe gives me, it gives me some confidence that their sustainability is that everyone touches the ball. And even when Buddy Hield is jacking up shots, and like on Tuesday night, he was 1-for-9, he's going to have the same confidence coming out of the second half to just gun and run. But everyone still touches the ball on these possessions. Not literally, but you know what I'm saying. Like, no one feels like they're on an island when they're playing for this particular team. Even Wiggins, in the few games that he's played so far, looks like he's more engaged as far as moving the ball. Now, he still doesn't rebound as much as I'd like, and you know the assist numbers are not going to be Chris Paul, but even some of the players that you typically think about just siloing in on and looking at, Kuminga, Wiggins, as just being kind of, you know, holes with the ball, right? You get the ball to them, that ball goes up, and no one else touches it on that possession. That's not the same case anymore. And so I was just thinking about that watching the 2014 Spurs. Like, these guys moved the ball so damn well. And they have three Hall of Famers and a Hall of Fame coach and all the rest, but no one ever felt like they were out of the play because they might touch it at any time. Yeah. And that's what this Warriors team feels
no,
like.
No, it's It's fun, man. This is enjoyable to watch again. And I'm just, maybe it's just me, but, and you know this, and doing enough shows, and especially during the off season, I'm just out on things being centered around these stars. Like I love this version of the Warriors, and who knows how far they'll go. But I'd rather watch this than Lauri Markkanen strapped to this team for the next 10 years and some crazy contract and half of these kids out the door. And the same holds true with Paul George, Jimmy Butler, all those names that were bandied about. This version of the Golden State Warriors is enjoyable when everybody's, and it's very reminiscent again of what Steve Kerr is, and it's sort of a reflection of his sojourn as a player, is that you've got to earn your minutes. That's how I played. You know, Steve Kerr's like, that's how I got into games in San Antonio and Chicago, is that I had to prove myself. And that's exactly what this team is all about. Aside from maybe two guys, if you're going to get run, then you've got to play well. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, not everybody has to earn their minutes. But I do think that with everyone else playing as much as they have, it appropriately suppresses the two guys that the minutes are pretty much just allocated to them, and that's Curry and Draymond. Curry's 36, or going to be 36. Draymond is either 33 or 34.
He's 35.
They're in the back end of their careers, yeah. Point being. Those guys don't need to be playing, especially this young in the season, 30 to 35 minutes a game if they don't have to. Curry's out. He's not going to play tonight in Houston. If the Warriors don't need Draymond to play 30-plus, I think they can still win basketball games. You know, Draymond, I don't even know if he's cracked the 30-minute mark. He may have in the second game against New Orleans when he put the clamps on Zion Williamson. Who, by the way, I do have an affinity for players that you know exactly what they're going to do, and still they have a way to get it done. Like, everyone knows Zion's going left.
Yeah.
And he can still get to his left hand with the best of them. Like, on Tuesday, that first game they played, he scored 31 points. Half of it was just putting his shoulder down and getting to the cup. Draymond was really good against him the night after. But, God, Zion just infatuates me. I love him.
Do you like Zion?
I do like Zion.
Yeah.
I also think he's a smarter player than he gets credit for. Maybe I'm just thinking about what he did at Duke, but he's a really good passer. He is, I think, a capable defender when he's engaged. He's certainly big enough to be, and he's heady. I just don't think he plays with a team that really maximizes him, to be honest.
Well, I think Willie Green and the Pelicans are a good team. I think that, much like last year, they're going to get either towards the middle part of the season or the latter part of the season and then just throw it into another gear. Or all of a sudden it's like Zion and Brandon Ingram. And then when Trey Murphy is a hell of a player, when he comes back. And DeJounte Murray, I haven't seen enough of him, I guess, with that team to know whether he really fits. I know he's a big scorer in Atlanta, but, you know, you got to be more than that if you're really going to win. So, and actually, Brandon Ingram, I was reading something interesting about him, that Brandon Ingram is just a guy that can shoot over you. And a lot of people thought that, oh, Brandon Ingram was going to be this guy who can, he can pass, he can get to the rim, he's got this great mid-range, and he can shoot open threes, and if he has a smaller man, he'll shoot over you. But there's not a lot more to his game than that.
Yeah, he's fine.
He's not somebody, because he was rumored as a potential trade piece to the Warriors. I'm not a big Brandon Ingram guy. And plus, he checked out on that team at the end of last year.
He did. And I also, I don't know, I kind of feel like he wonders what his future role is going to be with that team. And which is why he might also be playing a little more, not selfishly, but I think Brandon Ingram's game is good for Brandon Ingram. I have yet to see if it's good for the rest of the team. He's a talented player.
You know, we have the MPF, the most punchable face. We've got to have an MSF, the most stoned face, because he'd be right at the top of that list.
Clay is up there.
Clay
is up there. Someone like Buddy Hield doesn't look high, but he kind of plays high, if you know what I mean.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, that ball will go up as quick as it's in his hand. And it doesn't really matter from where, especially if he sees one go down.
So why isn't that guy? Listen, I follow Buddy Hield about as much as, well, maybe you followed him more than me. I knew about his career. I know that he couldn't get off the bench in Philadelphia last year. Is this just one of those where it's just sort of a Sam Darnold, you just had to be unlocked? Is he now in a system where you recognize, you know, what it is that you can do, and it's just a matter of you know, being in the right sort of environment and us providing you all the pieces?
I mean, I don't think he's going to shoot 50% from three for the whole year.
But he's a better than 40% career shooter from three.
He is. No, he's a marksman, especially if he's closer to 42 or 43. Like, he's going to have some more big games for the Warriors. But Buddy, the thing that I've honestly been the most impressed with, which brings us back to the one of my larger takeaways from the 4-1 start, it's how well he's played defensively. I was sold this bill of goods that he was a traffic cone, that he couldn't guard a chicken. You know, he couldn't guard anybody. And that's not necessarily been the case. Now, he's not going to be on any all-defensive teams, but he tries hard. He'll fight through screens. And I think he also does a pretty good job of running guys off the three-point line, which he can control, which is just effort. And then the Warriors' front line between TJD and Draymond are right there to sort of step in and close the space and not allow easy baskets. So, you know, I don't know if it's the fit as much as he's kind of bought in. But yeah, Buddy Hield seems like he's in la-la land. Like, he loves this place.
If he continues to shoot, not at a 50% clip,
he's scoring like 22 a night. I think that's going to come down too.
That I don't know. I mean, we're looking for that guy who can give you 20 a night, and we overlook Buddy Hield. And him and Steph, this is interesting.
The splash buddies.
I don't know what the hell is going to happen with all of these pieces, but this is captivating. And I got up today and I'm like, I'm not going to be that guy who's going to get on the air saying this isn't sustainable, throw water on this thing, saying, let's see, get back to me when they're in a close game, get back to me after, you know, a tough road trip. No, I'm enjoying life as it's played out right now. I'm in the moment. And in the moment right now, the Warriors are 4-1 and beating the crap out of everybody.
Well, it's hard not to enjoy it. Again, and it's not just about the wins, it's about how they've won. And the other thing that, speaking of Buddy Hield, I think he got a bad rap because, again, I was kind of making a joke that he plays like he's high. But I think people that are chuckers or gunners typically get branded as selfish players. Buddy Hield toes the line, but he doesn't strike me as a selfish dude.
No, he's never been I don't think he's ever been labeled a selfish player. It's just that when he goes cold, he can go cold. And again, maybe it's a system thing, and I don't know that he's ever played with a shooter like that of a Steph Curry.
But wait, when you don't have your shot going and you're continuing to chuck, I think people will look at you and say, what are you doing? You're playing selfishly because you're looking for your shot, and it's
not
there.
And they'll tell you, shooters shoot. Like, I'm here to do one thing in the NBA. There's only one reason why I'm on this team. And so I'll shoot until I miss, and when I miss, you sit me down.
He took, oh gosh, who is the backup center for New Orleans? But he's got more of a bag than I thought. Like, he took one, was it Misi? He took their backup center off the dribble to the cup? Like, he can.
Oh yeah,
he can score.
Yeah, he can get to the rim.
He's not just
a
shooter.
He finishes with left hand. Yeah, and he's got handled too,
more than I thought.
Yeah,
and God love him more than Clay.
You need handle these days if you got to create your own three. I mean, if you got to in order to get that step back. Speaking of the three, there's a lot of discussion these days about moving that thing back, and I'm talking about the line and eliminating the corner three.
I think the corner three is maybe more of a problem. On the other side, I'll tell you why. I don't think moving the three-point line back would actually, I don't think it would help that much. I'll tell you why on the other side. But real quick, the guy who I want to have a handle, who thinks he has a handle, but does not have a handle, is Kuminga. Like, his bag is not as deep as even Buddy Hield's. That's something I for some reason I thought he had more, more ha-ha.
Well, I think his handle's all right.
He just kind of, he's the guy at pickup who like dribbles between the legs and goes around the back and you realize he doesn't go anywhere.
Well, he's not, see, handle usually,
he's explosive to,
I think, cause
get
handle
to the rim.
For a guy that is, usually you think of handle for smaller guys because they got to cross you up so they can get that first step so they can get to the rim. Kuminga can just do it with pure athleticism. Like, he can overpower you. And he has the speed and the quickness. You don't have to be as crafty when you're 6'7 as opposed to 6'4.
No, but there's... I feel like we assume he can just get to the rim at will, but at least so far this season, I haven't really seen that.
Oh, he had that hell of a move. I don't know who it is. He came down on a break from the right side. I mean, he
was in transition.
Like it was in transition.
Maybe I'm talking more about it in the half court, but I don't know.
I think we got to get to a break.
All right, man. One more segment on the other side of Warriors this
week. Like Draymond here working with B. Diddy. You all right over there?
Oh, come on. Well, I mean, last night, maybe. 888-957-9570 is the number if you want to get on the last segment on the other side. Warriors this week is back after this.
Now back to Warriors this week on 95.7 The Game.
All right, as always, taking you up until 12 here on a Saturday. Evan and Dan with you. Got through a litany of subjects. Of course, you know, we dive into our extracurricular interests. And,
you
know,
you want Cam and I to hold down the end of the show?
Shut up. I had somewhere to be. No. All right, so yeah, last week I had to dip out a little bit early. Actually, I barely made it, so I had a...
I had a
volleyball broadcast at Santa Clara. There was a fat accident on the 101.
You don't use Waze?
Well, I do, but it was still faster to take that than to go down to 280 and go all the way around. Mm. So it usually on Saturdays, it's like a straight shot. It's just 45 down, but it took me an hour and 20 to get there. And so usually I was planning on having like an extra, you know, 40 minutes to prep. Literally got there 10 on the clock, hopped in the headset. Producer's like, all right, rundown. We got to go through it. Blah, 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 blah. And ended up having a decent broadcast. It was a straight set sweep.
Yeah, you know, it was great. Cam, the first thing Cam said to me when you were kind of
I was listening, by the way.
The headset, he goes, Dan, come to me. I got a hot take. I got a hot take. he was all over it, man. Cam did not miss a beat.
Cam, do you have... Well, so you've been doing all these games. Cam's also our network coordinator for 95.7 The Game. He runs every single Warriors show, pre and post. Hardest working man at the station. Cam, if I was to ask you your takeaways from the first five games of the Warriors, is there a big one? Is it a couple things? How would you answer that?
I'd say the biggest takeaway for me is just them having the ball movement and them having a deep roster right now. So having 12 men playing like that, it's giving guys a chance to rest, and it's giving other players to step up and step out and show that they can do something, because this can provide some longevity with the team, because it's an 82 game season. They're going to need all these players, and then just new guys stepping up, and then all the young guys stepping up. They're being forced to play. And then when you look at guys like Moody, he even said he took time in the offseason to continuously learn and just get better. And now he's able to demonstrate those things and all these skills. So they're going to need these guys to mature fast and step up when Curry's out. So when you look at games like this with Curry and Wiggins being out, they're able to, it's like they haven't really missed a beat.
That I agree with. Yeah, I mean, everyone's had to step up. And I do think the roster's made itself to be a little more injury-proof.
Anytime you want to cut out, man, Cam, turn that mic on and go, brother. Watch out, man. Do you know...
About to get Wally pipped.
Yeah, well, you just beat me to the spot. Thank you. You are an old soul, brother. Wally Pip.
Yeah, I get older every time I work with you.
The guy that Lou Gehrig replaced.
By the way,
focus, Warriors.
No, I know,
focus.
Warriors. There's a lot of Yankees that are going to be replaced this offseason. Let me just say that.
Does Cashman keep his job?
He should.
What about Boone?
No. That is a bigger one. I think they still keep him, but God, he had a bad World Series.
He did.
He had a terrible World Series. Oh, boy. So did the Yankees. Well, at least they made the postseason. Giants are still trying to get there. Warriors are trying to make the postseason. It's a terrible transition. What do you think they go on this road trip, Dan? Five games, of course. All right, tonight, 5 o'clock, Houston. We'll have Warriors Live and Warriors wrap up beginning at 4 o'clock. Tim Roy on the call, as always. Monday, they get Washington. Wednesday, Boston. Friday, Cleveland. And we'll talk before the OKC game on Sunday, but this week they got four games.
3-2.
For the whole trip, 3-2?
Yeah.
Who's the third team they're beating?
Well, they're going to shock either Oklahoma or Boston.
Oh, Cleveland's the team they're not beating.
Oh, Cleveland. Sorry.
All right, Houston.
So you're going to be Houston, you're going to be Washington, you're going to be Cleveland.
They're going to lose to Boston and OKC.
Lose is going to be putting it mildly.
What was the game in Boston last year? They got beat by 50.
Yeah.
And Draymond Green said, yeah, well, we dared Jaylen Brown to shoot.
Right.
And didn't go our way. They're down like 25 at the end of the first.
Yeah.
But the thing is, Ev, we're going to learn a lot more about this team. They're just not as good as Boston, but nobody is right now. And OKC is in another league. So if you lose to those two teams, it really means nothing. But if the Houston game is really going to be interesting. And even playing Boston as well as playing OKC, don't you want to see it? Don't you want to just see what this looks like? I mean, I'm so curious.
Well, I want to see it with Curry.
Yeah, you want to see it with Curry, but I just want to see how this... You know, remove Portland and even get the Pelicans the hell out of the way. Let's just see what this looks like against legitimate teams. And just is this real? Are we like, you know, is this a bag of goods that we're buying, or is this something like is there some legitimacy to any of this? So if it's close with either one of those teams, Boston or OKC, I think it's going to be awfully interesting with this team going forward.
Well, you got to beat Houston first. To me, that's not going to be an easy game. The only guys that are out for tonight officially, for the Warriors, it's Curry and Melton, and then the Rockets, Steven Adams got hurt on Thursday. But this is a Houston team that's pretty much at full strength, and a lot of people are high on. I wasn't as high on Houston to begin the season, or before the year. Like, we're talking about those totals. If both teams are at about 44 wins, I would take the Warriors over. I would take the Rockets under. But they got some dudes. And they got some emerging players. You know, Jalen Green's averaging like 30 points a game so far.
Jabari Smith Jr.
Jabari Smith, Şengün.
Oh, I love Alperen.
Oddly enough, they started to play and win when he got hurt. But I don't know if that was just a coincidence or not. You know, him and Jalen Green still to be proved whether they can play together. And then they got Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks.
Yeah.
Who are at least veterans. VanVleet's good. So, you know, this is a Rockets team. They got the... One of the Thompson twins, one of the San Leandro boys. They got some players. So I think this is a good test tonight. If the Warriors win this game, that would make me feel much better about their chances to go 3-2. And not just because they get the win, but because I wonder if they can play at the Rockets level right now without Steph.
Washington's a little better this year, so.
Yeah. Well, they're better than 11 wins, you'd hope.
I think that the Warriors, you're right. I think the Houston game is going to be a good measuring stick because, again, I think Houston's going to be one of those teams that they're going to be battling with throughout the entire season when you're talking about playoff positioning. It's going to be Houston's, and they're going to go back and forth. And it's going to be that 5-9 seed or 10 seed. It's going to change, I think, in the latter part of the year from day to day. And Houston's going to be, you know, this is a team that you're going to have to leapfrog. So, again, we're talking about test and who are these guys? Does this work with 13 cats getting in the rotation? Well, today is going to be school is in. Let's find out.
Well, I am still tempering expectations. This is from the 415 of the Comcast Business Text Line. No, one of our favorites. The weekend show is awesome. Hidden gem. Appreciate the love. Love the Warriors' chances of going 4-1 or even 5-0 over this road trip. Look at Cleveland as the toughest contest. Excited to see the Warriors get a decisive win in Houston this evening with Kuminga, especially having a good game. No, I didn't say Asar Thompson and San Leandro boys. Thank you, 916. So,
no substitute for the Evan.
Well, you were taking a shot at me earlier. But... But again, like I think people are again getting a little ahead of themselves in regards to the expectations for this team. I think we can learn a lot about this trip, but I still feel like they're about, as far as wins are concerned, you know, in that 46-47 range that they were last year. You know, I haven't moved off of my season long expectation for this team, but I think they certainly have proven that they've earned our attention. You know, if they had lost, I don't know, one or maybe both of those Pelicans games, I wouldn't feel that good
about
this
road trip. Which is tough to do.
What?
back-to-back against the same team.
Winning both?
Yeah, that second game is really, really difficult. I would say the percentages of winning two in a row back-to-back against the same team on that second night is in the 30 percentile.
I think they benefited from McCollum and Herb Jones being out for the second game.
Warriors don't want to hear that when you don't have DeAnthony, Melton, Curry, and Wiggins. You got to cry somewhere else with that noise.
No, but I mean, it wasn't like you beat him. Like, the first game to me was far more impressive. Number one, because the Pelicans, I thought that both teams were at an even level of strength. And secondly, you came back from down 20. That game last year, the Warriors get blown out, I think. Like, they roll over after they're down 17 in the first quarter.
I would say that maybe you're right, but I think that the second game last year, they definitely lose. Even though it was sort of a slugfest because it's back-to-back. That's the game typically where you're like, it's ugly, it's the same team, they're going to solve you. And typically, the team that wins the night before loses that next game. But the fact that they won it, to me, that was more notable. Like, huh? How the hell did you do that?
Well, I think once you get the first one, you're allowed to get greedy. And the Warriors have enough players to stay fresh and try and chase those wins, where I don't think they were afforded that in years past because they lacked the depth. 925, this is from Dublin March. Shout out to you. Not afraid of the Celtics. The win will come down to which team hits the most threes. That does bring us back to our conversation about the three-point, I don't even want to say revolution in the NBA. But
by the way, they got to get rid of the back-to-back before
embracement.
We move off
of that. Get rid of the back-to-back?
The same team, the baseball series.
Well, last year they did it because it was a part of the in-season tournament. And that made sense to me. But this was just, I don't know if it's because New Orleans has the strangest schedule because technically they're, you know, the furthest team west outside of Memphis, I think. But they played not only back-to-back against the Warriors, they played back-to-back games with a day apart in Portland. So four of their first five games have been against two teams. It's kind of weird.
Well, nobody wants to see that. It's terrible for the entertainment dollar. I don't want to see New Orleans the next night.
I'd like to see Zion twice.
Oh, once is fine.
What if I told you your precious Cleveland Cavaliers play your back-to-back games? You don't want to see Donovan Mitchell two nights in a row?
That's the whole beauty of the NBA.
I'm going to see Springsteen. I want to see what he's doing one night and then how he adjusts the next night. Does he have the same gas?
You want to see, that's the beauty of the NBA is that you revolve these different stars coming in and out for a homestand.
I think they should just play baseball series.
Oh, no.
It's four in a row. See who's really best before we get to the postseason.
I disrupted your chain of thought. Threes in the Celtics.
Oh, well, I do hate the way that the Celtics play basketball, just in general. They shoot so many damn threes.
50 a game.
It's just, it's not even like the 2018 Rockets, because at least the Rockets and those Harden-led teams, they weren't fun watches, but at least they were doing it because that's how they had to play. Like, that's who James Harden is. I feel like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum and Drew Holiday, all these players have so many different facets to their game, and we saw some of it during the postseason when you have to win different ways, but they just drive, kick, shoot, step back, shoot threes. And then they're good enough defensively to make sure that if they hit 15 to 20 threes, you're just not going to beat them. So they've figured out, they've gamed the NBA.
Well, they've become the model franchise. It's not by coincidence that Steve Kerr says we got to shoot a lot more threes after what it is that Boston did last year, shooting more threes than anybody. I think
they shot astronomically more than anybody else. Like, the Warriors were top five in terms of attempts last year.
It gets back to our earlier conversation about moving that line back, because the game is just becoming so homogenous. Everybody looks like everybody else. It's all about three-point shooting, and it's watering down the game to a certain degree because it's all about shooting threes. Whether you make them or not is basically, you know, that's who you are as a team.
I don't know if the line being moved back would help all that much, because one of the things that I feel like college has over the NBA, there's a lack of spacing. So it's easier to defend, yes, but you don't see as many volume three-point shooters in college because it's easier to get out and close out. If you move the line backwards, I mean, it depends on how far you move it, but I almost feel like it spreads the game out even more. Eliminating the quarter three might be something, or just widening the court in general. That might be something, but I don't think that would... I don't think that would encourage teams to play more through the post. I think it would just encourage teams to get shooters that could shoot it from deeper. And maybe you have more of a mid-range game. But the whole idea is that you want to shoot threes at a high enough percentage that it's either going to be 60% from twos or 40% from threes, and then you're getting the same amount of expected points per possession. It's just math. Like that's where nerds, I think, are coming into basketball, not ruining the game necessarily, but it's a monotonous style. Like everyone's playing the same way. It's not just Boston. Like
no, it's
OKC
everybody.
Plays the same way. The Warriors are shooting the crap out of the ball. You know. In fact, that was the thing against the Pelicans that made me feel like, well, the Warriors are going to win this game anyways. You see how many threes that the Pelicans shot in the first game? Like, they shot 50% from the floor, 40% from three, and I think 75% from the line. They got blown out because they took 19 threes. You can't win in 2024-25 without taking at least 30 threes a game. Unless you're, I don't know, a great defensive team.
They got to do something because I do think
the shooters are just too good.
Oh, the players are just so good in this league right now. The talent has never been this good. I was listening to Charles Barkley. Was hilarious, as he often is the other day. And he was talking about just how good the game is right now. Not only in terms of the talent, but the money these guys are getting paid and everything that's available to them in terms of health and load management. He's like, if I was able to play that, he said, I would be... He was talking about Zion Williamson. And Barkley said the most money he ever made was $5 million a year. He said if I was making $40 to $45 million a year, I'd be anorexic, which is not something that, you know, you want to make light of.
Sure.
But he's a guy, I think the point was well taken, is that it's a completely different game now. So
by the way, did you see Joel Embiid's comments yesterday?
Who hasn't played yet this year?
So this, he was asked.
Nor is Paul George.
He was asked. Well, Paul George actually got hurt, although he tends to do that a lot. Joel Embiid was asked about his critics who say that he doesn't play or he doesn't want to play. And he said, quote, I've done way much for this bleeping city to be treated like this. Your response.
What has he done? He's never even been to the Eastern. He hasn't been to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I think that's what the Philly fans would say. Although it hasn't always been
his
fault.
You know
who
he is?
Who is he?
He's the Lamar Jackson of the NBA.
No.
Well, your man Lamar Jackson's got to do something in the
playoffs. Get off my guy Lamar.
Do something in the playoffs, Lamar. There's regular season Lamar.
He was just in the AFC title game.
Did they go to the title game this year?
Yeah, they lost to the Chiefs at home. Or a Zay Flowers fumble in the end zone away maybe knocking off KC.
You got to win that thing.
Well, they had to win it, so the Niners had a better chance because the Chiefs are their freaking kryptonite. He's not, well, he might be Lamar Jackson. They are, does he have two MVPs, Joel Embiid? Not sure. He's got at least one. But
I don't know.
I just thought it was, like, I've never heard an athlete just spur their city. It's Philly. They're hard, but damn, man. I've done too much for this bleeping city. Basically, you know, mother bleep all you guys, all you bleeper bleepers.
He's really...
Like, you want to go all in on Joel Embiid?
Go get him?
Yeah.
To the Warriors.
All in.
Oh, yeah, why not? Sure.
Giannis?
Makes sense.
Embiid?
Yeah. Sure, why not?
God, you're more closer to a rebuild than trying to go trade for a big boy.
Rebuild? You mean...
You love raising things to the ground.
No, I think that this version of the Golden State Warriors, which, by the way, didn't we do like a preview show? You guys dragged me in here. It was me, you, Grandy. And we were the first day of free agency. And we were, man, you have got to put down the pipe, bro.
What are you talking about?
We did a preview show.
Yeah, we did.
And we did it. It was the first day of free agency.
A three-man wave. I'm remembering. Just because my eyes are hazy doesn't mean I did. I'm sharp upstairs,
You're looking
Dan.
At me like you've never met me. But it was, I think I was just, you know, I maintain that this is the road to go, man. This is what you want to do. Would you want Klay Thompson, that $40 million, just Would you want that on your books right now, or that $40 million dispersed amongst seven guys right now?
No. Well, and in all seriousness, I know that there's salary caps in the NBA, so it's a little bit different. But I think what the Golden State Warriors are doing is they're playing money ball. Like, they're turning Klay Thompson and his $40 million into three serviceable pieces that all individually might not be, speaking about Buddy Hield, Kyle Anderson, DeAnthony Melton, might not all be individually as talented as Klay Thompson, even at his older age. I think he's a better player. But those three put together are infinitely more impactful than Klay Thompson would be right now. I do believe that. And so the Golden State Warriors just turned his contract into three cheaper options that either they could move in a trade that they could use to help them right now, or that gives them more flexibility and also makes them a better basketball team. Like, they, I think they are playing money ball right now.
I'm revising my road trip and the prediction I gave
5-0?
You.
5-0? 4-1. Oh. I talked you into it?
I think this is...
I'll say 3-2.
I think there's something special going on here. I really do.
So you think we're gonna end up with the 18-2 start?
I'm trying to think of okay, what are the weaknesses? Give me the glaring weaknesses on this team.
Star power.
Okay, so does star power equate to scoring?
No, like if you had to rank, again, this is all based on the individual. If I was to tell you, who on this Warriors team is a top 25 player in the league?
Nobody.
Well, Curry.
Curry.
But that's it. That's what I mean as far as star power.
Yeah, and I'm the guy that I believe that the NBA more than any other sport, because it's just five dudes that you need stars in order to win. That's been the template, right? It started with the Boston Celtics when they had Garnett and they had Pierce and they had Paul Allen.
Yeah, you've always needed stars or good players to win.
Yes, it's
great
just,
players.
That's the way. But maybe the Warriors, because we're beginning to see this, where teams now, when it comes to money, are, you know, they're tightening the books a little bit. And so there's always got to be that watershed moment where somebody does it a different way. Just like when the NBA started this whole thing with the Big Three in Boston and Big Baby Davis and company, and they won that title. And then it became, okay, LeBron says, well, let me get my boys. Calls up Bosch and says, Dwayne Wade, we're coming to Miami. And then everybody was doing it. Things are cyclical in this league. And now that the money is what it is, I think what this could be is potentially a different way to skin this baby.
I think that this is sustainable because, for the regular season.
It's not stars, but the one concern you have with the Warriors is who's going to score the basketball if it's not Steph, okay? So if Steph's going to give you points, if Buddy Hield's going to give you points, and if Wiggins can give you points and Kuminga can give you points, and then suddenly you're getting, you know, you're getting stuff from Lindy Waters. I mean, this sounds like a guy who's drinking that Kool-Aid, right?
Told me to put down the pipe.
No doubt. But there is a way here. And just simply because they don't have the star power and it's 13 guys, is that the reason why we should say this isn't going to happen?
So who's the leading scorer tonight for the Warriors?
Wiggins. Wiggins or Kuminga? I think Kuminga, over the last 2 days, he's got his confidence back.
I'm curious to see how much he plays tonight with Wiggins being back.
Oh, he'll play.
Well, he's going to play, but 30 minutes? Got another man in rotation. I'll tell you who I think is going to be the leading scorer at 4 o'clock when Warriors Live starts right here on 95.7 The Game, prior to the 5 o'clock tip against the Houston Rockets. First game of a 5-game roadie, as that'll do it here for Warriors this week. As always, Dan Devone. Appreciate you.
Don't forget, it's Sarah and Reardon later today.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Steven Rizzotto is going to be out there, right? Yeah, say what's up. Is it officially basketball season, or is this still football? Steve?
Oh, it's football season at the R.
Oh, we're talking football.
Dude, hoops. I thought it was hoops, too.
Oh, okay.
I can't lie. Oh, boy. All right, football season still wrapping up here as basketball season's in its infancy, and the Warriors are 4-1. So we'll see if they can keep it rolling. Next time I talk to you, we'll have four games to break down. And Dan's got it going basically 3-1 until then, including a win against Boston. We'll see. For Cam Williams, for Steven Rizzotto, for Dan DeVoe, my name is Evan Giddings. Thank you for listening to this edition of Warriors This Week. Thanks to everyone who has tuned in, who has chimed in, who has called in. We'll talk to you next time here on 95.7 The Game.
Odyssey celebrates Veterans Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app